Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott explore Australia with the Killiecrankie Kilmerman's Run Cabernet Sauvignon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's an oddball. We're doing the Sunday night podcast on a Saturday, and it's good to be here.
It is. Well, it just is available.
My voice is a little deeper.
Because you're pretending to be manly?
More thorough. Because I had the flu.
Oh, you did. Triple B is off at a gingerbread making party, which actually is just a drinking party. So, you know what she did? She didn't want to drink, so you know what she did? She took she put San Pellegrino in a cup, and was going to act like that was alcohol.
Yeah. She was bring up faux cocktail.
Well, I think an adult gingerbread house making party
stands for itself.
Is dumb.
Does it?
But
see, now you had to. Do that.
I did.
Some things you just leave it hang. Don't make the comment. Let it speak for itself.
People might not have known. Might not know how I felt about that.
Okay.
Sip of water. No. On tonight's show, we do not have gingerbread.
Didn't know how you feel about gingerbread house making.
I never liked that at all. I don't like gingerbread houses because they're not. They don't provide you with the. Proper accoutrement to make it structurally sound.
There's
icing is not a proper bonding.
The problem for me with gingerbread cookies is people make them too sweet. If I want a good ginger cookie, a good ginger snap, I want it to be gingery and spicy.
Ginger snap is different than a gingerbread cookie.
That's a fact.
So why would you? I mean, you can make it a little bit more like what you're talking about, but then have it iced to have the sweetness in that. And it balances out, I suppose. I agree. Sometimes they are too sugary, and they should be a little bit more of a savory cookie with accoutrement on top to provide the more sweetness. But that's okay.
But what do gingerbread cookies end up being? Hard. Like, break your teeth hard.
Well, you've just been getting them in the wrong spot. That's just the truth. You need to find don't get them at Ollie's Bargain Outlet, who is not a sponsor of the show, ironically, but that's okay. Ollie's Bargain Outlet. Have you ever been in Ollie's Bargain Outlet?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Ollie's Fire Hazard Outlet.
Oh.
You know, you trip over the roaches trying to get out of there if there is a fire. You know, it's not a pleasant place.
Step below or step above Odd Bob's?
So far below, it's almost a joke.
Really?
It's like comparing Saks Fifth Avenue to Dollar General.
I guess it depends on the location, because there used to be an Odd Bob's and an Ollie's side by side. They were both roach infested. No.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, you could go into an Odd Lots in a bad part of town or a Big Lots and really have a disagreeable time. I'm not buying food from either one of them, mind you.
I used to get olive oil.
Go, yeah, okay, that's fine. But, I mean, let's be frank. I've never found anything in either store that I would buy, ever. But that's neither here nor there. So.
Sea salt.
What the fuck?
You could decent cooking items from the Odd Bob's and occasionally from Ollie's.
No.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Absolutely.
No, don't feed me anything from there.
No. When we lived in the village, I shopped there all the time.
No.
Hey, there was this Spanish olive oil. It started with a Y. YB Ibarra?
Ibarra.
Ibarra?
They just made that up. They have their own printer in the back, and they just stuck a label on
it.
Really bad vegetable oil is probably what it was. Animal oil. Who knows what it was?
Yeah.
It's from an olive.
You know. Can't tell the difference between olive oil and vegetable oil.
Well, I think that might be a prerequisite to being on a wine program, but perhaps not.
Well.
It wasn't a prerequisite probably on Wine Wars, but then again, they're not on anymore, so.
Damn it.
That's fine. But. On tonight's show, we are having an Australian wine on here because, good day, mate. We never do that. We rarely do that unless it's something expensive because we're just not fans normal of the style.
It's been a while.
But a Cabernet, we haven't done too many that have aired. We have done Australian Cabernets. We have. But we just don't ever bother because it's a second episode or, you know, somebody shit on the mic or it's weird shit. Yeah. Weird shit always happens when we try to do certain wines. I don't know why. One time there was like this weird echo on your mic and we don't know why.
It was like two episodes of echoes.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. And there is no echo feature on your mic. It just doesn't exist that way. We don't have... I don't know what the hell it was.
It actually been a cool thing if we could have turned it on, turned it off.
Yeah, but we couldn't. Well, we didn't know where it came from. And it never has happened again. We have upgraded certain things, but still. It never has happened again, so I don't know why it happened then. But on tonight's show, we have Killikanoon, a well-known Australian wine producer. Well, sort of. I mean, they're not Penfolds or one of those. But, and this is their Killerman's Run Cabernet Sauvignon. A Killerman's Run, you would think, ooh, and it's Clare Valley, by the way, South Australia, but Clare Valley. You would think, Killerman's Run, ooh, is that a single vineyard? No, basically, that's their introductory wine. Comes in at about 20. I got on sale for $17.99. On wine.com, they have all this level's products. Clare Valley, for those that don't know, is well known for their dry Rieslings. But they also do good Cabernet and Shiraz. But they're normally savory yet fruity, too, just to point that out. I don't know how that works, but it is. We haven't had this yet. But I'm thinking back about Clare Valley Cabernet. I don't believe I've had a Clare Valley Cabernet that I have. Well, no, I take that back. Kessler, I think, or Kessler. They make it, but I thought that was Barossa too. So I don't think I've had a Clare Valley Cabernet in my lifetime. This does have some good reviews. It does have one that's very amusing. Well, a certain part of it. And one thing I'd like to point out, only 300 cases allegedly of this wine were imported. So this isn't Rosemont. This isn't Penfolds where they're making 200,000 cases, 3 million cases. This isn't like that. This is a smaller production. Think of it like Penley. And Penley's pretty good. You know, there's one, but that's not Clare Valley. But it's Southeast Australia, though. I think it's a little more general than this. But I'm expecting, though, with this wine, proper wine. One thing I've done tonight, though, we have two different glasses. One is a standard Venom from Riedel, and the other is the Grand Bordeaux. This isn't Bordeaux, naturally. But we're going to do a tasting comparison as well between the two glasses and how they differ for on the same wine. Not a French wine, but a Cabernet nonetheless. Are you excited, Scott?
Slightly.
Slightly is a good term. Slightly, yeah.
FYI, Kessler, Clare Wine Company, is a Clare Valley.
Is it?
It's Clare Valley.
What about the Shiraz? Because I don't think I had their Cabernet anyway. I think I had their Shiraz, so it doesn't matter anyway. Doesn't matter. Close enough. And that's been 20 years.
They probably do make some Barossa Valley, though, too.
Okay, so. And I think I had Barossa. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Killikanoon Killerman's Run Cabernet Sauvignon. As I said, it does have some reviews.
Yes, it does. Hi, this is Wilfred.
Hey, Wilfred.
Scott, how are you tonight?
Good.
You look, I would say you look lovely, but that's not true. You look very mediocre, but that's good for you.
Well,
I mean, mediocre.
I feel good about it.
I've spent my whole career being mediocre.
Well, if you wish you were mediocre.
I mean, I wish my rap sheet was mediocre and supposed to...
That's stunning.
Well, I that's what they said. When the judge opened my file, he goes, "That's stunning." And then I realized they had the evidence in the case against me. And it was my pictures of my genitalia.
No, he was talking about your record.
Oh.
File.
Was it wrong that I gave him pictures of my genitalia?
Yes.
Oh.
Where did you end up that day?
I ended up in his chambers. He was very inappropriate as a judge. Yeah. That's right. That happened. Anyway, critical acclaim.
Shut up, Wilford. This is James Suckling. I'm not going to let you ruin my moment. Wilford will be back after I read my review. And I did review this wine. I gave it 91 of my points, which normally should scare you. But I said, this has fresh and approachable red plum, red currant, and cassis aromas and flavors. Medium-bodied, with fine, smooth tannins. Drink now. Screw cap. As a sentence. I put a period after the cap.
You put a cap in it?
I screwed it. Yes. Screw cap. Sentence. I don't know. I'm very, very bad at what I do.
Diction? Yes.
I'm back.
Hey!
I don't like screw caps. You know why?
Why don't you like screw caps?
I have no idea. I was asking you why. I have this aversion to them, and I don't know why. It freaks me out. I see them, and I wet my pants.
You can't do the same thing with them that you do with corks?
Well, I tried, and it cut me up a little bit. You know, when I get peed my pants, I wear gray sweatpants, Scott, so you can't hide wetting your pants wearing, you know, gray sweatpants.
I figured as crusty as yours are that...
Well, you know, they're used to me being excited in certain spots, so they do have little indentations. It's
easy for you to say.
It is, and yeah, they get wet. I don't care. Anyway, Robert Parker.
Oh,
he Bob. He gave it 90 of his points, and he said, marked by scents of dried sage and cassis, the 19 Kellerman Run Cabernet is a medium to full-bodied and velvety. Oh, velvety textured wine that should have broad appeal. Ripe and expansive. It delivers concentrated plush fruit and a long, softly tannic finish. At the RRP of 20, it's a terrific deal. And the Wine Spectator. I don't know if they were drinking this wine or something different, but they said they gave it 90 of their points. So, features rich dark chocolate, raspberry, plum, and spice notes that are deeply complex and deep and on a velvety frame with hints of chai tea, fresh cracked black pepper, and fresh herbs. Drink now through 2039. I think that's kind of excessive.
I said drink now, apparently, or wait. If I waited till 2039, I'd be dead, and Wilford would be still alive because he's, you know...
Pickled.
A vampire is what I was going to say, but anyway.
Coyote.
2039, is that a long time?
For this bottle of wine?
They meant... Make vinegar.
I don't even know if it'd be liquid in the bottle.
If I could take liquid.
You can't say drink bottle. Now through 2039.
They just said it.
You can't even say drink now through 2029. 300 cases imported. You know, this is the thing.
Do you think Bob Parker, for all the money he made by finally retiring and selling out, that he cringes in his grave, and he's not even dead yet, over reviews like that?
Well, that wasn't Robert Parker. That was the Wine Spectator.
Oh, yeah. So. Sorry.
You know, there's just little things about facts, you know. I'm going to do one thing, though. How do you spell Killikinoon?
K-I-L-I-K-A-N-O-O-N. Those are about four diverse. They sound like if there were four wines... And they were points on a compass. They couldn't be further apart.
Well, at least
than those
had,
four wine reviews.
The first two had cassis, at least. You know,
yeah.
The Spectator just went off. The one thing I am double checking, okay, is sometimes wine.com doesn't proofread what they put on a review, and they put the wrong review with the wrong wine, and so I'm verifying on their website.
Not Wine Spectator, that 2039.
Well, that they actually wrote that review. because sometimes that happens. So, but nevertheless, one thing that you saw there though is the mention of fruit and savory. But it was really focused more on the savory than the fruit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So 19. Nope, there it is. Kellerman's Run, a 90. And was that actually? Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, that's actually the review. Mary Ann Wolrobleck. She's a senior editor and Napa bureau chief. She wrote that. Yeah, that's something else. 2039. I wonder what made her think that is. I mean, that's just, that's like, you know, Grange levels of aging, but oh well. Well, anyway. In the glass, folks. It is deep and dark, as Aussie wines often are.
So, we'd expect a little more burly style of a Cabernet.
Somewhere between. You know what I would
rustic.
Say?
Rustic?
No. I've never found Australian wines to be what I would call rustic. I would say they can be... Barossa, I think, tends to be the big burly one.
That's the burly brutish one that I'm thinking of. And maybe rustic's not the right term, but brutish.
Yeah, I've never found, though, Aussie wines. Maybe that's why I'm not as big a fan of them. I never found them as rustic. They don't, to me, taste like something that somebody's crushed with their feet. You know, nothing ever imparts, at least in the lower levels, a lot of it just tastes like, to me, I'm my sample size too. There might be 10,000 wines anybody that's listening might have had that actually spoke to them in this way, but none of it tastes like it's artisanal. You know what I mean? It, once again, not button pressing, but it just doesn't have that je ne sais quoi, that part of it that makes you really interested in the wine and invest in it. No, some of them taste nice, but
we do feel that way about Clarendon Hills, that it is artisanal, that it does.
Well, some of them
have
are
that.
Well, but you're going up in range. I'm talking for about sure. 20 or sub.
Yeah,
yeah. So in the glass, though, it does look pretty dark, deep wine, good clarity too. So it's not a cloudy wine. Crimson, deep crimson, plummy look. Slight translucence, but nothing bad at all.
So quite a bit of tartar crystal structure.
There are, yeah.
Could be raging acidic.
Yeah. On the nose, though, there is cassis right out the gate. We're also going to smell it in the smaller glass, too.
It kind of has that watery rim edge, so maybe that's showing that it's glycerin-y or oily in the texture.
Could be. Has a nice evergreen note to it. Slight pine needles. And the nose, between the two glasses, in the Grand Cru, it's a little bit more of a refined nose. Yeah, I'm definitely getting a little bit of that pine needle, forest floor nose in the Grand Cru than I am the other. Yeah, I smell a little more berry, cassis, and vanilla even in the smaller glass.
I'll tell you, the I get a little almost like cranberry in the Grand Cru glass.
Yeah, it mixes right in there too. I was going to say that into the pine. Yeah,
like almost like. Gosh, almost like
I like the
Dr. Pepper or cola?
A little bit. I like the nose in the Grand Cru better than I do in the other one.
Distinctly different noses.
Yeah, distinctly.
Exercise in the same wine.
In two different glasses. Both, though, designed. One is just a bigger version of the other, too. So
we've often experienced that with these Grand Crus. They're just
This smells a lot more of a refined nose in the Grand Cru glass than it does in the other one. Not a bad nose. But just lighter.
That's fair. More refined.
Yeah.
But the differences in the nose, it's still nice in the regular
cat. Yeah, it's just slightly muted. I'm going in. One thing I read on Clare Valley is they often have a tobacco edge in the mid palate, and this has that.
Not edge.
It's tobacco, big time tobacco. Front tip in, creamy cassis, maybe just a little bit of blackberry. A little bit of the chocolate. But the chocolate goes away pretty quickly.
It's like a really dry chocolate. Like mm-hmm. a really, like a baker's
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dark chocolate. Like. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. The finish, then, you're fine. Obviously, this is on oak. The website is silent as to the level of oaking. But the oak then comes across in the finish. And it's slightly woody. And kind of crescendos into a little bit of... Well, it's just... oak and tobacco. Right in the smaller glass now.
And that's all. That's how I started first, was in the smaller glass. I'll tell you, I like this a lot. I was a little worried about my palate tonight. Having, you know, been head cold and chest cough all week. Are you getting this to be really astringent?
It has astringency, yes.
Yeah.
It's tight. Slightly tight. I don't know about 2039, but 2030. It's not as tight as like Penley. Remember Penley? Well, we have plenty of Penley in there, but I even have the Tomler. But that's a tighter, denser wine than this. It even comes across a little bit leaner on the palate because it does need time. This, you could age it a little bit, but it's a very well done wine.
And I'll tell you,
it's a good wine.
The acidity that we saw in the glass, the tartaric acid, mm-hmm. acidic crystalline structures, mm-hmm. presents quite nicely on the palate. There's a nice, light, spry acidity that it dances throughout the finish.
Oh, yeah.
Just you get to that. Once you're through the mid and you're to the beginning of the finish, that acidity, it's not boom in your face. It's just subtle. It's there in the background. That's what makes it for me.
You know, one thing I like, by the way, there's an animal on the label. There's a rabbit.
Becky would have given that the kiss of death.
Yeah, she would.
But I think she'd really like this.
On the front tip in, on the front of the palate.
Just the tip?
Yes, just the tip. It is very, very creamy. Almost a dairy component. That is such a nice way to start off a wine. And I'll tell you this. Often when a wine starts with that tip in, and I think it's also a little bit oak tinged, but very, very lightly. Often, then it goes into the seven levels of hell. But this wine goes a little higher up. so many times you get that little tip in. Oh, that's not, oh God, what is this?
Creaminess. Just put the tip in and...
Yeah, yeah. It gets a little creamy. But that's right, Scott. They just put the tip in.
No, don't you do that. This time I'm in control.
Control.
It's called a power bottom. That's what you'll be.
Oh, Lord.
I'll put a sock in your mouth like last time. But I won't use the duct tape.
Put in your mouth.
I found out that you didn't find that appealing, and I realized it was a bad choice afterwards. It's just unnecessary, really. I mean...
What?
You know, especially when I put it around your wrists and your ankles.
Wilford.
You got a little concerned there.
We put it around your face so you stop talking.
I got a little excited.
And yeah, I bet you did.
I was like, I got into the zone and I was like, whoops, I don't have room in my freezer for you. So, you know, I kind of stopped, but that's
damn it.
Yeah.
So, but that the creaminess on that front palate is such a nice way to start. Then the cassis, a little blackberry. Then you're into, then... raging, you know, the chocolate, tobacco. There's a lot of elements to this wine.
All creamy on the front palate, acidic on the finish, towards the finish. That's quite a contrast. It's nice. It sounds the opposite of what would go well together, but it does.
Every sip of this is just kind of rewarding. Also, the tannins are very lively and strong, and it is astringent. So that tells you it has a little bit of ability to age. Not a ton, but a little bit.
2039.
Come on, man. This must have been her last bottle of the day. She's like, I'll taste that. Ma'am, no, you don't take the whole.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
Ma'am, don't you want a glass?
Why do you always judge me? Leave me alone.
It's like Sinbad. We'll drink straight. Yeah. It's that kind of part. We're going to drink straight from the bottle.
Ma'am, as a sommelier, should you be smoking while you drink?
Everybody comes to judge me. That's 2039.
You know.
So wrong.
My husband left me.
Something like that.
Jesus.
That was a lot.
So sexist.
Well, you got to figure why the hell she said 2039, because it wasn't because of what the way that wine tastes like.
Well, here's a thing. We could send her an email and ask.
Maybe she's into huffing. So she had like a bag of paint. And
I taste now.
Ma'am, why is there gold all over your face?
Leave me alone. Everybody always judges me. Oh. Do you have any rubber cement?
Why, ma'am?
Leave me alone.
Looking for another house trailer to buy?
2039.
Did you blow up another meth house?
My mother calls me an old maid. Oh.
Something like that.
Damn it.
It's an impressive wine. Normally when you see James give someone a 91, you get scared. I'm not saying it's a 91.
Well, it's a lower score for James. Honestly, 91's a low score for him.
It is, yes. I was going to give it 92 of my points.
Does he score anything lower than 90?
But what's in Chilean?
Does he score anything lower than 90?
Yes. You don't want to drink it. I don't want to drink a James Suckley 85. That's all I know. I made the 85 myself.
Now, would this be appealing to everybody?
Not the kids.
Some massive probably not the kids. Appeal. No. Tobacco can be a challenge for some.
Yeah, but I think that open entry mouthfeel, people are just going to blow past the rest, especially if they quaff it, because you don't get that reward of everything else. So it can hide all that stuff just by quaffing it. And they're going to find something that is kind of ripe on the front palate to a certain extent, ripe enough for them, and they'll drink the rest of it.
I think it deserves that, you know, drawing of the air, taking your time with it, and giving it that full
it does.
Mouth appeal, because it does draw out all these other things. I'm not sure you don't blow by the acidity if you just slurg this down.
Yeah. I couldn't smell or taste, but that New Zealand thing, that border, Craggy Lane.
Yeah.
I mean, and knowing this exists, you're like, what the fuck is that? You're not that far away.
Right.
New Zealanders should not be allowed to make anything other than some Pinots and Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc. After that, don't make Cabernet. Don't make Merlot. You can't do that there.
Guy, wine splaining doll in New Zealand.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, the times we've had their stuff like that, Bordeaux varietals, it's just been a quagmire. It's been a fuck, just a complete, yeah.
Awful. Not bad, usually. No, that thing wasn't awful. Your palate was awful.
Well, you hated it.
Well,
it's just $24.
Yeah,
on that sale.
Was
the thing.
And we just didn't know what it was. It wasn't awful. It just didn't know what it was.
That's never a good thing if you don't know what something is.
Particularly if you're the one who makes it. Where this, they know exactly what this is.
You know, Scott, one time I was in a movie theater and I was sitting there and there was like a person next to me and I put my hand on the armrest, right? And then I got a little tired and my hand dropped down and I touched something. I didn't know what it was. But I kept feeling around.
Your hand just dropped.
It did. I didn't.
Did you doze off?
No. I got tired, I guess. Yeah. So I was.
You were tired.
I was looking for my car keys. I thought they might be in that person's crotch. I wasn't quite sure.
Okay.
Yeah. They could have had them there. I don't know. I didn't check my pockets. I probably should have. Often my problem is I do check people's crotches before I check my pockets. I get those two things confused.
That's such a confusing thing.
There should be a checklist that should be given out so people know what's the first step. Check your pockets. What's the next step? Check your own crotch. What's the next step? Check other people's crotches.
Wilfred.
Oh, wait a minute.
We've been working on the checklist.
I could check their pockets before I check their crotches, right?
Didn't you put your pocket checklist in your pocket?
Yeah, but I looked for it and I was feeling around in their crotch for my checklist. I get it confused. I know that they're steps, Scott.
Is it a crotch checklist or a pocket checklist?
No, it's. I don't know. If I lose something, where do I look first? I wrote crotches for somebody else on there because I knew that was important. They didn't have that on the list. I was like, oh, no, I need to amend the list because I know there's something else. And they looked, what are you doing? Other people's crotch? What? And then they realized they probably shouldn't make the list, but, you know.
But in doing so, you made the list.
It was my psychiatrist that made the list.
Oh, God.
It's like, what should you do? They were like doing role-playing. Not that kind, Scott, but like, so you're sitting next to somebody in a movie theater and you can't find your keys. You should A, look in your pockets. B, look on the floor beneath you. C, ask the person politely next to you if they've seen your keys. Or D, none of the above. And I said, none of the above. Well, I actually wrote it in, search their crotch. I answer that same way many times.
I think it's your most prominent. Doesn't matter what the question is.
That's why I searched their crotch. Now, I'm not. They didn't give me any medicine for that, though. I was like, well, don't I get a pill or something? So I said, don't do that. And they're like, no. He goes, come with me. And I was like, okay. So we go out behind the building, and he hits me with a shovel.
Yeah, good for him.
But I won't die. I'm like Rasputin.
Rasputin.
He even shot me 14 times, but it didn't matter. Yeah, show him. So I searched his crotch for my car keys when I came back in.
Oh, Jesus.
This is a sight to see. I dreamed all that, by the way.
Wilfred, you know they took your driving privileges away. You don't have a car anymore.
I looked for my car. I searched in somebody's crotch for it. I didn't find it, though. Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
We're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. So tonight's potpourri, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss the five things you should never do in a wine shop. Now, we're not going to consult Wilfred on this list.
Why? I have five things. First of all, don't go in the wine shop naked.
One. That's a good one.
Don't go in the wine shop partially naked. Now,
two. Does I think it kind of
in fairness,
slips into
Scott,
one.
It said no shirt, no shoes, no service. I had shirt and I had shoes on. Damn it! So,
did you wear pants?
No, but the sign didn't say that. I was happy to see everybody too.
And I'm sure they were happy to see you.
Yeah, number three. And I don't have no. Yeah, don't proposition the wine steward. Don't do that. They don't like that. It's not that kind of party, they said.
Pretty sure no one likes you being propositioned by you, sir.
Why, you didn't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fourth, don't urinate in the wine shop if there's no bathroom to do it. I didn't know that, strangely enough.
Note to self, don't urinate in the wine shop, even if there is a bathroom with which to urinate.
Not even in the bathroom?
Not even in the, you just stay out.
Oh. And number five, don't pleasure yourself in the wine shop. I found that out too.
Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know why. I already knew that. I just threw that in for comedy.
Wilfred's wrong.
Yes. By pleasuring, I meant having a wine tasting.
Yeah.
That's my pleasure, Scott. Sure it is. What were you thinking?
Sure it is.
Pervert.
Anyway, what are five things that you should never do in a wine shop? One, a better wine shop. Don't ask where the Mayomi is. Don't do that.
Don't do
that. Might be 10 things. Don't ask where the Mayomi is. Don't ever do
don't
that.
Don't go in and titch what they have or what they don't have.
Don't do what?
Titch what they have.
What's
or
titch,
what they
titch?
Titch titch.
What's that mean? Oh. Yes. Except what they have.
Well, or don't, but don't comment on it. They don't want your opinion.
No, they don't.
You know.
But if they have Mayomi, then you might want to comment.
Don't laugh when they give you the recommendations after you've asked.
Well, that's a good point. I don't know if anybody would do that. But
well.
Also, don't. Here's another one. Don't try to teach them a lesson.
There's that.
Scott does that sometimes.
No.
Now, look, you shouldn't be selling this. Yeah.
That's exactly what I said you don't do.
Well, you did that at the Avenue to that one poor bartender. You're telling her you shouldn't be selling Mayomi.
What was it about?
Selling Mayomi.
Yeah.
And you said she shouldn't be doing that.
That's what I said.
Yeah. You were teaching her a lesson.
I was just saying, have you drank this?
Well, yeah, it's popular. People like to drink it.
That was actually, so what do you recommend? And she brought Devonite Taste, and it was Mayomi.
Okay, never mind. She knew the lesson.
That was what it was.
It's fine.
That was exactly the circumstance.
Well, if that story is true, then I stand corrected.
I could not help myself. I even said,
the fuck is wrong with you? Dumbass.
I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't do this, but
what is your fucking
have you
problem?
Tasted
what is your
this?
Fucking deal? I've sent wine back before. I forget what the restaurant was. And it was this Italian red. I didn't know this Italian red at all. It was Italian red though. And apparently there's an Italian red that is a, let's just say, semi sweet. I didn't know this. I looked it up after the fact and went, oh, that's my mistake. I didn't know that. But why is that on the menu? Who the fuck drinks this shit? It's terrible. And I don't recall what it was.
Well,
and so I said, no, this is not my thing, but it's my fault. I ordered it. And like, she goes, that just won't do. And I said, so she went back and got me something different. But,
well, it's, did they have it on the menu because it's like an aside from Moscato or something?
No, it was just in the red wines. They had a limited menu anyway. They had a limited wine selection anyway. It was a legit high end. It was what's that place that you have to have reservations once a month?
Oh,
it's a supper club. I forget what it's called.
Is it talking about the one that's in like
the old Max and Irma's in?
Oh,
that one,
Chapman's.
Chapman's, yeah. And they have a smaller menu anyway for wines, and but it's like it's mixed in with the reds. Nobody's going to stumble upon that. Some dumbass there thought that was a good idea, but it's not.
The servers need to know to tell you it's not Italian, normal Italian red. It's a semi-sweet.
There was no way of discerning that from
the information they gave.
Yeah, no, and I don't even think they had like an appellation if I wanted to look it up on the phone. But that's another thing. If you're in a nice wine shop, don't be using your Vivino app and taking pictures of shit. Ask people.
What?
Don't do that. Do not do that. I've seen that. There was a.
I don't think there's anything wrong in looking for ratings.
Yeah,
in your own
but
wine
you.
Shop.
Ask for recommendations. If you're in a, I'm not talking about a Giant Eagle. You can use your Vivino app, not that that's going to tell you anything, at Giant Eagle or wine.com app, assuming that you have service. But if you're in a wine shop, there's a reason why you went in a nicer wine shop. You went in there because it's a curated list. It's not some buyer in some, you know, office building in Chicago. It's curated by the proprietor of that establishment. So ask them if you have questions. That's what they're there for. That's why they want to talk to you about wine. They don't own a wine shop because they don't want to talk about wine. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why they did it. They didn't say, I have this idea. I'm going to make $1 billion by opening a wine shop. No, no, no. Most of them already have the money, and they open the wine shop because they just love it. Every wine shop I've ever been into, they weren't people that were like living paycheck to paycheck because they have this wine shop. They made their money, and with their money, well, part of their money, they said, I'm going to do what I love, and they opened a wine shop. That's what it is. So ask them. They want to talk to you. They want to talk to you. They would love to have a conversation about wine. Just don't be arrogant about it. And they're not going to be arrogant about it. I've never been in a shop, really, where I'd say the person was arrogant. No. Especially a small one. They're just, it's a passion for them. It's a joy for them. They're on, it's Tuesday afternoon, and they're living their dream. Because they're in that shop. Their shop. So ask them. Talk to them. Maybe you'll learn something new, you know? I've talked to them before, and we've made fun of Mayomi together. You know, because they put Syrah in it. Syrupy Syrah. Syrah syrup. You know, yeah, that's just. And one of the wine shops I was into, he said, people come in and ask for Mayomi. I don't sell Mayomi. That's not what I'm here for. That's what Kroger's is for. Go buy it there. But like, they're asking for. Why would you come in here looking? I had this great wine at the wedding, this wedding. And I've been looking for it, and I can't find it anywhere. It's called Mayomi. Did you look at the case stacks in Target? Because you'll find it, you know?
That and Rosa.
Jesus. I can't find it anywhere. You can, actually. I mean, you could look for it. It's like 1.5 million cases.
Do you have that really rare beer, too? What's it called? Bud Light?
Yeah, something like that. I can't find it anywhere. It must be allocated. Can you order me a case?
Yeah.
No.
I used to be on the mailing list.
Were you? It's like, I wonder if anybody orders Mayomi off wine.com. They do, I'm sure. It'd be so stupid.
I'd be on the mailing list till this dumb frogs got me kicked off.
God. Yeah. But this Killer Canoon, though, is quite nice. Be on the mailing list for them.
Don't go into your local wine shop and ask for chocolate ice wine.
Don't go anywhere and ask for chocolate ice wine.
Well,
chocolate.
There's a time and place.
Yeah, there is a chocolate ice wine, isn't there?
There's a time and a place for everything.
No, there isn't.
Sure.
That would suggest there's a time and place for me to be taking my pants off.
Almost everything.
Okay. Well, before a shower, Scott, you could have said that as a comeback.
You know? I think in most of the continental 40 contiguous United States, you're supposed to keep your pants on even in the shower.
Speaking of comeback, remember that time that we were hanging out and things got a little
hanging
rough?
Out?
Yes, the comeback. And no. That's you had to wipe yourself off.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break.
Oh,
be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Killiecanoon Killiman's Run Cabernet Sauvignon from Clare Valley in Australia. $17.99 currently on wine.com. Scott, what is your numerical score for this fine wine?
I really like this, but it's... And I don't know why, but it is just short of a 90.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at 89. Really well done. Prominent characteristics in the front, the mid, and the finish. I love the way it starts with that creamy start with the fruitiness through the mid palate with the chocolate, the tobacco, and then into that tannic astringency, but with acidity there as well. It's just a really well done wine. A lot going on there. 89. But for some reason, it just doesn't have that thing that makes me give it a number that starts with a 9?
What? Balls?
I don't know. Does it need more backbone?
No, no. You don't have the balls to do it.
No, this wine doesn't have that thing. I have the balls to do it. No,
you don't have the balls.
I don't think it is a 90. 89 is my score, sir. I highly recommend it. If you are looking for a nice expression of tobacco that's not overpowering and is well balanced in a wine, this is it. If you haven't had a wine that's tobacco, get this. It's there, it's prominent, but it's not overpowering.
It's not. And now on to me. I just ordered 2 bottles of this on wine.com.
Very nice.
I think it's a nice wine. I think Becky would like it. She will say she doesn't, but that's okay. I'm providing this wine 90 of my points. Okay. I'm going to give it a 90 plus. So 90.5, a high 90. And let me tell you why. First of all,
why are you going to give it a 90.5? You're starting a radio station?
I might. 90.5 FM, Killer Canoon, Killer Men's Run. No. The complexity in this wine is very surprising for sub 20. And it's elegant. And it has a mouthfeel. And it has tobacco. And it has astringency and tannin. It has a little bit of ageability, not 2039 ageability, but you know, 3-4 years is what I'm saying. That's what it is. It's
fine,
now
though.
Through 2027. Yeah. But it has so many positives. It's just 89s to me. I'm missing something. This wine really doesn't miss anything for me. It has a little bit more than that. And I think Becky might like it, too. So that
I do think Triple B would enjoy this wine.
It has well-integrated oak that comes in at the right times and does the right things. It has the tobacco element does speak of the Appalachian. That's the thing. It does show all the telltale signs of Clare Valley. And it shows that at $17.99. And so it doesn't taste like something, like I said before, that doesn't have a personality. It doesn't taste like it was a button push somewhere. This does taste like it had artisanal elements in it. It does taste like there was some thought and care and love made in this bottle.
You know you're drinking a well-made wine.
And so, and then you take into consideration, even though the score doesn't reflect that, but $17.99, there's not a lot of $17.99 bottles of wine in the Cabernet range that are better than this. There just isn't. I mean, they aren't there. Name a Cabernet that's, you know, more than just sub 20. It's sub 20. Not 1999. I'm talking like 1799.
Yeah.
Name one that's better. There isn't one that I can think of. They're all 20, 22, 23. And quite frankly, like even like the Edge, it's good. But is it Alexander Valley?
Yeah, and it's...
It's not Alexander Valley. It's
Sonoma.
I don't remember where it's from. But even that one, that's a little bit more. And it's different than this wine, too. So you start considering that this wine has unique flavors, unique styles to it. And there's some Chilean stuff out there that gets to this quality level. But once again, different flavors, different style to it. This one has its own flavors, its own style. And it hits it out of the park. It captures Clare Valley. At least that's being described by Wine Folly and everybody else. It said all the things that it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And it does that. Does that not warrant at least a 90, for Christ's sake?
Well, I mean, think you're taking price into comparison.
No,
for the
I'm
score.
Not. Because I also think it's tasty.
Well, I think it's tasty, too.
And it has complexity.
But I have to say, I prefer Edge. I prefer Gunlock, Bunchu to this. But it's by the slimmest margin in personal preference.
Gunlock doesn't, that doesn't, it's not the same wine. I wouldn't even.
Well, they're none of them the same wine.
Apples to oranges there. A comp to this would be, I don't know
what a comp to this.
There isn't. But it captures everything. And I like that because I like Alexander Valley Cabernets when they capture Alexander Valley, right?
Sure.
And this captures Clare Valley. And I like that too. So if you want a wine that is showing the elements of this valley, this appellation, this is a perfect wine for that. And I suggest you do that because it's an interesting area and it has interesting wine. And the flavors that are imparted in that region are widely likable by people that really love wine. If you want a wine that you have a case of that, you know, you'll drink over the next 3 or 4 years as a little bit house wine plus, better order a case or two.
Can't recommend this high enough. Particularly at the price point.
You better order 2 or 3 cases.
We didn't play this game. What would you be happy if you hit, this were $30?
Oh,
yeah. This tastes 40. Of being 30. I don't know about 40, but it tastes 40. It tastes of being 30.
I think it has all the elements. I mean, I think it has enough complexity, enough size, enough tannin, enough everything.
What would you know about size?
Oh, but it's obviously not American. I mean, California is going to be different than that. But it has all those elements to, I would not be disappointed at $40 with this wine. Absolutely not. 50, that's getting a little high. But 40, not a problem. Because, I mean, I've had wines that in the 30, I've had wines in $40 and $50 that aren't as interesting as this. Quite frankly, Scott, we liked Duckhorn. It's a better wine, the Duckhorn Cab. But, this actually is a little bit more interesting than the Duckhorn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's an $80 bottle of wine.
I think.
Just saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you don't know what you're doing.
And maybe it's just my palate, but and I too am gonna buy some of this. I just think it's
great wine,
worthy.
It's better in my opinion, and we might have given it a higher score, but it's more drinkable. Let me say it's more accessible than the Phoenix by Penley Estates. It's more accessible than that wine, and I think it's also has wider appeal than that wine. So.
Well, that one did have some of the. What this doesn't have is that brooding, that brutish nature.
I don't need it.
It doesn't need it, but and that where the Phoenix had that to some degree.
Phoenix is a bigger boned wine that's going to age longer. Okay, give it a 91 because of that. And I think we did. That's fine. It has a lot more ageability.
I haven't had that in a Red Hot Second.
I have. It's good. I mean,
I haven't had that in a while.
Would I buy? I mean, I have like 5 bottles of it, but it's good. It's not the best wine, but it's very, very good. This wine, though, I think is very interesting. It's a very sneaky little comparison to that.
It is a sneaky bastard.
It is a sneaky wine.
It's a sneaky bastard.
Well, nevertheless, folks, a 90, and whatever Scott did. A wine that I am actually going to put this in the Hall of Fame. Deserves it.
Oh, God.
I am.
You're such a baby.
It's a good wine. It's one of the more... It's Australian.
Becky's not even here. She's rolling her eyes.
It's one of my most favorite Australian wines we've had in a while, other than...
You hate everything Australia.
I didn't hate St. Honoré.
Well, that doesn't count.
No, it does not count. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Boat. Good night.